Hey y'all, it's A Few Minutes with the Pew podcast. I'm Lily.
And I'm Maddie.
And we have a passion to see people make Jesus number one in their everyday lives.
We want to get serious about being serious for Jesus. Will you join us?
Welcome here, everybody. Today, we're talking all about the Passion Week. This is part one to the Passion Week. We have our dad, Scott Hobbs, here with us today, and we're really excited to get into some of these details, talking all about Jesus' life and the miracles he performed and all that good stuff as we head into Easter and as we celebrate Easter, and just some very important biblical things to know as we prepare our hearts for that celebration of what Jesus has done for us. So we're excited to have you here. Last week's episode was our blooper episode. We shared some really embarrassing things with you guys, but just some funny moments over the past year and a half of recording that we haven't shared yet, and that was in honor of hitting 6,000 downloads. So we just want to be sure to plug downloading. I know that sometimes people just forget. You listen, you go on to something else as you're listening or whatever and forget to download. Please be sure to download this episode if you enjoy it, and let's get to this episode, y'all.
Okay, so Dad is really the expert on the Passion Week, but we have learned some things over the years. But this is something that Dad's really, really passionate about, so I'm excited for this episode. But first, Dad, we want you to cover some of the things that happened leading up to the Passion Week. Why were some of these things important? Why do we need to pay attention to them? Especially because they aren't directly linked to the crucifixion and the resurrection like we usually think everything in the Passion Week is. So why is that stuff important? Why should we study it, know more about it?
Okay, well, it's good to be on the podcast with y'all. It's always fun. The Passion Week, yeah, is really something I love. This is probably my favorite time of year to teach on. The Passion Week is just such a neat thing that points us to the perfection of Jesus and God, and how this thing's laid out. The detail in it is really mind-blowing. You know, we don't often look at the behind-the-scenes stuff. We have Palm Sunday coming up here, and then we have the Passion Week coming up after that. As we're recording it, we're a week away from Palm Sunday, and then 2 weeks from Easter. But here's the thing to your question, Matt. There's a couple events that really point us and I think kick us off into the Passion Week and into the, especially into the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. And those things would be, we see as we look at John 10 and 11, you know, if you go there and read those, kind of good prep for the Passion Week, because then you say, well, wait a minute, John 11 is Lazarus being raised from the dead. You know, what's that got to do with the Passion Week? Well, that's what you ask about, and that really does go right along with the Passion Week. In John's gospel, it would be the beginning of the Passion Week. It really starts that thing off. And yet there's another event kind of just before that. We see in John, let's just kind of jump into it a little bit. John 10, you know, here's a spot where Jesus is teaching, and he makes the comparison and says, the Father and I are one. And this like really just sets off the Pharisees, sets off the leadership. In John's gospel, when he says the Jews, for the most part, he's referring to the leadership. So when he says that, you just kind of think that he's thinking leadership. So they hear him say this. Well, obviously that's blasphemy. That's man, we can't handle that. And so they want to, you know, they want to stone him. And it says they're going to stone him. And he says, well, you know, like, what are you so upset about? You've heard about the Messiah. You know what I'm doing, what I'm coming. I've given you all the proof because you've seen all the miracles, right? All the ministry over the last 3 years. I mean, here we are in the last, you know, couple months when this is happening. The last few months, I would say. And then, and so what happens? John 10 leads us into John 11 with Lazarus. He leaves there to avoid being stoned. He leaves there and heads off into Perea, right? So he goes east out of Jerusalem. The road going east there, if you're looking at a map, he goes east and down out of Jerusalem. It goes down. Jerusalem is up high. It comes down out of Jerusalem and all the way down, clear down to the Jordan River. Crosses the Jordan into Perea. Well, you say, well, why'd he head for Perea? Well, that's a little side story, but he goes off into Perea because he's safe in Perea. Herod Antipas is the ruler there. He's in with Tiberius, who's the Roman emperor at the time. He went and did training with him. he's in charge of Perea in Galilee to the north. And so Jesus is safe there. Well, so we look at this thing and we say, from all this time, they're going to stone him. If he comes back into Jerusalem, you know, it's not going to be good, right? Even Thomas, the disciples say, as we head into John 11, when they send word about Jesus, about Lazarus, I'm sorry, to Jesus, that he's sick and, hey, you need to come back. You know, even the disciples say, and Thomas, toward the middle of that chapter there, says, well, if we go back there, we're going to die. They know what's happened. They were there when he was going to get stoned before. They know. And Thomas says, well, what the heck? We might as well go back and die with him, right? We're all going to die. They know this is serious. Like, we know, and as we read it, we know it's a serious deal to head back from Perea. So he's in Perea, but something you want to notice, probably shouldn't go down this trail, but let's try it a little bit. If we go back into Luke, and Luke 13, and as we're looking at the Gospels together, Luke 13, 31 to 35 or so there, some of the Jewish leadership come out to Perea. This is after they try to stone him and he heads to Perea. And they come out there and they try to lure him back. Well, why? We just said that in Perea he's safe because Herod Antipas is the ruler. In Judea, he's not safe in Jerusalem and Judea because who's the ruler? Pilate, right? You remember that? Pilate's the ruler during this time when Jesus, and what we know about Pilate is very weak, crippled leader, can't have any more sedition, rebellion in this area because, man, like, this guy's been in trouble from the word go with Rome, and, you know, he's got to keep this thing put down. The only way he can do that is to appease the Jews. He has to pretty much do what they want, or they threaten him with all kinds of, like, you know, hey, we'll just tell Rome, you know, whatever, or we'll tell Rome there's another king coming up and you're not putting him down, or whatever. So Pilate is very weak, and so the Jews know they can get him to do whatever they want. So this is why Jesus is over here in Perea. But the Jews in Luke 13, really interesting, they come out there, and lots of folks are coming over to hear him in Perea, right? They're coming to hear his teaching over there. But the Jewish leadership go out there, and they try to lure him back. They say, hey, 13 there, they say, Herod wants to kill you, you better get out of here. Well, Jesus knows better than that, right? Like, Herod's not after him. Herod's not bothering him at all. And he knows their trick. He sees through their thing. He says, look, here's what he says. He says, you'll not see me come back into Jerusalem until you call me king, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what the NIV says. But what he's saying there is, you're not going to see me in Jerusalem until you call me king. Now, when is that?
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, right? Like, that's the next time he's coming in, Palm Sunday. So he's telling them, look, I'm not coming back. I'm not falling for your tricks until Palm Sunday when I come back in. Mm-hmm. That's the first time you'll see me. And I already know what you're up to, but hey, it's all going to work out, okay? So then we head into John 11. That's the first event, really, is this trying to lure him back from Perea and him telling him that. And then the second event that really leads us and points us and like, you just see how God is just pointing us toward the Passion Week, and there's a lot to it, is Lazarus. And so we see Lazarus, we see this event with Lazarus, and Jesus comes back. They send somebody out and say, hey, you know, the one you love is sick. Now, you got to get this, like, Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, like, they're friends. Mm-hmm. Like, they know each other. Like, they're not just, hey, I passed you on the street and said hi. They're like, stayed at your house before. We played checkers, whatever it was, right? It was really good. Mm-hmm. And we're friends. We've broken bread together. We get it. And it's a place Jesus can relax. It's a place Jesus can just be part of this normal household. And he knows he's accepted. And so not only with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but everybody here in Bethany in the town would have known him. He's come into town before. He stayed with them. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing is, there's a friendship here, right? It's like when somebody comes into town, you know, and they stay with you and you go out to dinner and it's all that stuff. So this is important. This is not just somebody like in some of the other miracles where, you know, somebody comes to him and says, hey, my daughter's sick. Mm-hmm. Can you come heal her? This is not that. This is real deep stuff and friendship and good stuff. Okay. So you got to see that first. And so when they call him back, it's odd. Isn't it odd that he waits? What's it say? He waits 2 days to come back. We have to understand the Jewish customs here. So he's coming back on the fourth day. Okay, it says Lazarus raised on the fourth day. So the guy's, you know, like, he's been dead for a while, okay? Remember, this is the only miracle that Jesus did that was magnified, mm-hmm. that was bigger than it had to be, mm-hmm. that was like, hey, it's big enough to heal somebody. Don't get me wrong, all that good stuff. But this was Jesus waits on purpose, lets the thing build, make sure everybody is there, and then comes back in and raises Lazarus from the dead. And you ask, well, why the fourth day? That is a good question. Why the fourth day? Well, because if you understand the Jewish customs of the funeral thing, from the day that you on the day that you die, the third day you have to be in the tomb, rock sealed up. You got to picture these tombs. They're, you know, on their personal property. It's kind of a private tomb. They're usually up in a cave that they've dug in the hillside. There's shelves in there where they lay the body and the bones. And so people go up in there. It's kind of like our viewing type thing where the first 3 days they go up, they put strips of linen on with scented stuff because he stinks, right? I mean, the body is decomposing immediately. There's no preservation efforts made. So, I mean, from the moment you die, it starts to get ugly. They go up there, but the first 3 days, if you die today, let's say on a Sunday, any time today, doesn't matter whether it's 8 a.m. or 4 p.m, that's the first day. So Sunday, second day Monday, third day Tuesday. So by Tuesday sundown, we got to have this rock rolled in, everything done, seal it up, and then that, so that's the third day. That's the law. That's what they do. On the fourth day would kind of be like the high day. Everybody is out there. Everybody's celebrating the life. It's kind of like a funeral dinner for us, let's say. I'm trying to give you some ways to compare it to our rituals, so to speak. But on the fourth day, well, that's the day Jesus shows up. So everybody's there. Now listen, everybody's been there. Everybody's come. They paid their respects. They've walked in. They've seen him. They put the strips on. They've done all the stuff. They've smelled him. He's starting to smell a little bit. It's not real pleasant. You know, everybody's probably pretty glad that we got this rock rolled up and the stone sealed and all that good stuff. And so when Jesus comes and says, hey, and there's all kinds of side stories to this, Mary and Martha asking him, why didn't you come? If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Mm-hmm. All this good stuff. And Jesus says, well, you know, this is for the best. You're going to get it. Am I not the resurrection? Do you not believe that? Well, yeah, we believe it. But still, it would have been better if you were here and we just wouldn't have to worry about all that stuff, right? And now he's in the tomb. We all smelled him. We got it sealed up a little late. That's the thought. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, no, not too late. And he calls Lazarus out. Now, picture this. Here we are with everybody watching. Everybody's here. They've seen Jesus come. They've seen these interactions. They walk out and Jesus calls him out. And I've always wondered, I think it's really interesting. I just think that he called him out by name. He says, Lazarus, come out. If he had not said Lazarus, the question is really just kind of fun to think about. Would all the tombs in the area have emptied? Would all the dead, all the recently dead, all the who knows, anybody within a half mile that heard his voice, whatever, would they have all come out? I don't know. That's an interesting thought. I've always wondered if that's why he called him by name Lazarus. That's a side note. But he calls him out. But all these people are picturing this and saying, man, roll the stone back. Like as soon as you break that seal, here comes the smell. And there's nobody sitting in out in the audience saying, hey, well, maybe at this point, man, you get that smell, like it overcomes you. It comes rolling out of there. And then here comes Lazarus walking out. It's still got the linens on. You know, you might even see a linen you put on there. And you smell him. And there's no hiding this smell. And it sticks in your nose and it gets on your clothes. But here's why. Because there's no way at this point you can't say that Lazarus was dead. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can't say, like, we've never seen anything like this. This is the deal, right? Which this is real.
Right, which is what the Pharisees who are there, they would have been trying to, you know, for Jesus to be there. They're already after him.
That's right.
So they would have been looking for any way to come up with some excuse that, oh, Lazarus wasn't actually dead and Jesus didn't right. perform this major miracle in front of all these people.
That's right. Yeah, they would want you to think, they'd want to start to rumor that, hey, you know, Lazarus is just sitting in there. Mm-hmm. They had this whole thing concocted. They're friends, you know, looks like they're faking it. Looks like a big deal. And, but the reality is like, you can't hide the smell.
Right.
You can't hide that we've all been here for 3 days. We've done the whole funeral thing. We've mm-hmm. seen him laying in there. Mm-hmm. He's either the best actor in the world or something. If he's not been dead. But now we smell the smell. Right. And like that, we've smelled that before. We know what dead bodies smell like. Been to other funerals. This is just the deal, right? Now, why? So we're talking about Lazarus, and the question was, well, how does this lead into the Passion Week? Well, get this. I mean, as you read on there toward the end of John 11, we get up into, you know, there around verse 45, and it says many believed, right? So lots of the folks who are here, they've come out of Jerusalem. Bethany's about 2 miles out of town. And so they've come out of there. They've come from the surrounding areas to honor Lazarus and the funeral and all this stuff. And then here he is alive. So what this does is it cements, as we look back at where we started with John 10, that they're stoning him and he's telling them, hey, you guys aren't getting it. You're not paying attention. I'm proving what I'm saying to you is true with the miracles and all the things that you're seeing. This is what you've been waiting on, but you're not accepting it. You're not buying it. You say I'm doing these miracles in other names. You say all this other stuff. It really messes up the whole thing because now we've got this really big deal that heads us toward the Passion Week. How does it head us toward the Passion Week? Well, this is several weeks before the Passion Week, before the triumphal entry. Jesus doesn't go into Jerusalem at this time. Lazarus is raised. It says many believed, but it also says some of them went and told the Pharisees what Jesus had done, mm-hmm. right? And so these are probably other Pharisees. These are probably some of the leadership. They're going back telling the others, and this kind of cements the thing. This is where the wanted posters start to get printed for Jesus, right? This is his pictures up in the post office on every street corner. You know, they're stapling up the posters, right? And saying like wanted Jesus, blasphemy, all the things, right? And so Jesus, this begins this journey toward the triumphal entry. What we're looking at here in the next week in on our calendar, mm-hmm. our days, it heads us toward that. And he said he heads up to Ephraim, which is on the border with Samaria to the north. He goes up there. He hangs out for a while waiting until the pilgrims are ready to start out of Galilee down to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Mm-hmm. Now, the Jews, again, Jesus is wise as a serpent, right? Harmless as a dove. He does these things to avoid being captured, right? He knows he's a fugitive. So he's in Bethany. Nobody's going to mess with him. Hey, just raise Lazarus. He heads up to Ephraim. He's there and he's on the border of Samaria. No good Jew's going to come up there and mess with him, okay? And then he heads up through Samaria, which he's laid all the groundwork for that throughout his ministry. Most Jews don't travel through Samaria. He heads to the north, up through Samaria, through the middle of Samaria, the Jordan, the ridge route, right? Mm-hmm. And this is about 60 miles shorter than going out and around Samaria, which every good Jew would do. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus heads up through Samaria into Galilee, and he joins up with the pilgrims. Now, remember, he's done this since he was a boy. He's done it his whole life. He's done this route down to Passover. You know, remember when he got teaching in the temple and they left him behind? They were heading for home, realized, hey, Jesus is gone. Well, that was this, right? This is this time when this happens. So Jesus heads up through Samaria, up into Galilee. This is where he did a majority of his ministry. And he joins up with the pilgrims that are traveling down. But they're not going to go back down through Samaria. They're going to go over to the east, and they're going to cross the Jordan and down the Jordan River, which is called the Jordan Rift. And it's safe there. They're on the side of the Jordan. They're away from Samaria. They head down through into Perea. Again, we're back to Perea. And then when they come down back across the Jordan and head west over into Jerusalem. Now, all the way as this is going on, now, you know, you got to remember, word spread about Lazarus. People know these oral things really spread quickly in this culture. And so anybody who's traveled up through Samaria who was down at Bethany is like, whoa, you should have been there. Man, this guy was raised from the dead. Jesus did it, right? So you got all this. Then you got all the miracles happening as he's traveling with the pilgrims coming down in for the feast. And they come down and it's all being set up so that it all points to everybody. Even at the end of John 11 with Lazarus, it says that when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus. As they stood in the temple area, they asked one another, what are they asking? Here's the buzz because of what's happened with Lazarus. Like it's all over. What do you think? Isn't he coming to the feast at all? But the chief priests and Pharisees have given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, he should report it so they might arrest him, right? So the Lazarus thing begins this buzz, this talk, this thing of, is he coming to the feast? Will he come in and oppose the leadership? Because they know, common folks, everybody knows there's a price on his head. There, his the wanted posters are up. And so as he comes down and he comes in there, they know he's coming. And he's traveling with all these pilgrims and he's telling them, hey, I'll be in there Sunday morning. I'm coming in for the feast, right? Yes, I'm coming in. Everybody's asking him, hey, are you coming? Yeah, I'm coming. I'm traveling with you, aren't I? I'm coming in. They're seeing more miracles as they're coming down through there and then they head into Jerusalem. And as they head in, it's a Friday. And you guys know Saturday is the Sabbath, right, for the Jewish folks. And so Sabbath starts at sundown on Friday. goes through sundown on Saturday. They're coming into Jerusalem on a Friday afternoon, and Jesus kind of ducks off with his group, his disciples, and his small band, and they head down into Bethany, right, where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are. They're going to stay with them. Now, the rest of the folks, they're not going to come down into Bethany with Jesus, most of them, because they've already got their hotel reservations in Jerusalem, right? They've already got their setups and wherever they're staying in Jerusalem, and they got to get in before the Sabbath starts at sundown. You got to be settled in, can't be traveling, all that kind of stuff, right? So they're going in, but what's happening is they're going in and during the Sabbath, and then on Saturday night at the coming out, when everybody comes out of Sabbath and it's a big party time, everybody, you know, the windows fly open and people sitting their lawn chairs out and, hey, we're getting the grills out, we're going to eat together Saturday night. And when all this happens, you know, you can bet they're sitting around saying, has anybody seen Jesus? Is he coming? Mm-hmm. And all these folks who've been traveling with him are like, yeah, he's coming, right? We were just with him. We think he ducked off into Bethany, but he told us he would be here on Sunday morning. So he's already set this thing up, and it all starts with Lazarus. It all starts with that buzz that gets started, and really that confirming miracle that, like you said, Lily, they can't deny this. The Pharisees can say whatever they want, but like, we all smelled him. And so people who would say, you know, if somebody, you can just see this little crowd standing around talking, and they're saying, well, maybe, you know, are you sure that Lazarus thing really happened? And somebody's like, hey, dude, I was there, man. It smelled. Like, this dude smelled bad. And, you know, it took 3 days to wash the stink off of him. You know, like, it's going to be ugly. I'm just making that up. That's not biblical. But it's a big deal, right? And so they can't deny that. That starts this whole just crazy excitement in the air, okay? And this is, as I said, a few weeks before we head into the Passion Week. But then as he comes in, you know, they're all going into town saying, yeah, he'll be here Sunday morning. He's coming in. And the Jews, got to remember their mindset. Their mindset is, man, we're looking for a Messiah. But they think, and the disciples thought it all the way through. They even thought it after the resurrection happened. And the ladies came and said, hey, he's alive, man. You know, head out to find him. Well, we will, because we don't believe you, right? They didn't get it. They just didn't get it. And it's easy for us to beat them up, but we've got the whole story. They were trying to figure that out. But this buzz is created. And what happens is that gives us what happens on Sunday morning. It gives us this triumphal entry where everybody's waiting. Everybody thinks the Messiah's here. He's going to save us from, not from our sin, not from our own screw-ups. He's going to save us from Rome. I think the thought would have been, I would have been thinking it if I was there, man, how cool is this going to be? Here we are. We're all come together. The city is just busting at the seams with people. Everybody's come in for the Passover. This has got to be the perfect time for Messiah to show up and call himself king, stand against the Romans, and it will be just amazing. Because he's going to deliver us from Rome. We'll take back over. We'll lead ourselves. We won't have to deal with this Roman deal anymore. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it'll be on Passover week. Like, this is what we celebrate about coming out of Egypt. This is what we've heard all of the stories that have come down through the generations that tell us. This is why we celebrate this, because God saved us out of slavery in Egypt. And they're thinking, hey, what a great thing. God's going to save us out of the slavery of Rome. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's not what Jesus is about. And as we look into the next episode, we'll save this probably for the next time. But we've got this constant question that is always at hand. Given Sunday, why Friday? Right. Given Sunday, why Friday? Given the fact that we're heading into this triumphal entry, Hosanna in the highest, palm branches waving, coats on the ground. Jesus riding in, given that and the whole town welcoming him as he comes over the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem, given that, how in the world do we end up on the cross on Friday, right? Like, that's craziness. Like, it blows my mind. How do we go from that to that? But there's an answer. We'll get into that, talk about that maybe in the next episode. So come back and join us for that. But all these things that we're talking about, this whole deal with Perea, Jesus telling him, hey, I'm not coming in until you call me king, raising Lazarus, heading to the north and up into Galilee, all the trip down, the miracles, the talk with the people, all these things are pushing towards Sunday morning. You see the great detail in what God does and how everything is set up. And it's been foretold. You know, you can go back into the Old Testament and see the predictions of him riding in on a colt and Daniel's predictions of the timing. And you can, you know, there's all kinds of messianic prophecy that talk about this thing happening, and but they missed it, right? They didn't understand that, like, he's not coming to make a kingdom that'll throw Rome out. Mm-hmm. He's coming to make an eternal kingdom the way he's setting it up. I think we go into these holidays. This is my favorite season. I love Christmas too, sure. But, like, I really love Easter. Mm-hmm. This resurrection thing is what it's all about. Like you can have the birth, but without the resurrection, the birth is just another prophet. It's just another good dude, whatever it is, but it's not what we've got. Mm-hmm. And so what we've got is resurrection, and that changes everything. Now, I have talked way too long, and now the girls are looking at each other going, well, what do we do now? We didn't even, you know, we might as well not even been here.
No, I can't top that. Dad's the expert on this stuff, so, like, I'm not attempting to explain anything.
Go and read, you know, the triumphal entry is in all four Gospels, so you can read that in all four, Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, John 12. You can read all those. That's in regard to the triumphal entry. And then as you read on there, you've got some scripture in Matthew and Mark. It talks about the fig tree as they're coming in. He, you know, kind of this little prophetic thing about the Jewish people, about Israel. You've got the second cleansing of the temple and him with the temple being cleansed. I'm trying to see I would probably have you look at like Matthew 21, 23 and Mark 11, 27, Luke 20, 1 through 19. Those are just some I have my notes here where they're challenging Jesus' authority. But all these things that you see that are happening, there's what's going to answer our question, mm-hmm. given Sunday, why Friday? These are going to point us toward that. But just anything you can read there after the triumphal entry and how Jesus goes into the temple and cleanses it, these are good things. And then obviously keep reading on through that whole section as he's talking about the Last Supper on into what's happening each day. We'll kind of walk through that next time each day, Monday. You know, we know Sunday's the triumphal entry, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, Jesus is on the cross Friday morning. So that's the Passion Week, and we'll walk through some of that the next time. But read through all that, the triumphal entry, and on into Gethsemane, mm-hmm. and, you know, that whole, all those scriptures that surround that would be great.
Okay, great. All right, Maddie, you want to end us with prayer?
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up in prayer, so please pray with us. Lord, we just thank you for this day and this episode, and I thank you that Dad was able to just come and sit down with us and record this episode, and we are just so excited to get to talk about the Passion Week and just all the different things that you did leading up to Jesus' death and ultimately his resurrection. We're just looking forward to studying all the different things that you did and all the ways that they connect in order to form this perfect plan that you had from the beginning. I pray that you would just bless us and guide us as we go into this Easter season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys, we're going to end here. Be sure to tune in for part two. I believe we will be uploading that next Monday as we're heading into, that's Easter week, right? So right. We have mm-hmm. all the different days to talk about what Jesus was doing, how he spent the week leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection. So be sure to join us for that, and we will talk to you on Monday. Bye, guys.